everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Are You Not Entertained? This is episode number 76, and today's date is September 20th, 2017. Yes, that's right, listeners. I am back, and I am your host this week. This is Carrie. And as always, I am joined by that great duo, Russ and Kent. How you doing, guys?
I think we like to be known as the Fisting Bros.
Okay.
Other than that, pretty good, I think.
I like how Russ's kind of went outward and mine did the uppercut.
You went the uppercut, yeah.
Lots of variation in our fisting.
Well, because just like our fisting bro comrades, they did a lot of that too, back, forth, back, you know, all that different stuff. So,
well, yeah, I mean, in a relationship, there's a lot of give and take in fisting.
Exactly, lots of give and take in fisting.
Gosh, I wish I knew of a cereal that I could eat as a man.
You can eat any cereal you want.
Frosted Flakes, Count Chocula, I don't know, I'm just...
Oh yeah, Count Chocula is back.
Yes, it is.
God.
So is Frankenberry.
And Booberry, and yes, Booberry. But Count Chocula has always been my favorite cereal. So, God bless this month and a half where I get my favorite cereals of the year.
Yes.
I know Eric's on a hunt for Count Chocula as well. Every time we go in a Giant, now he's looking for it.
Do you guys have a Walmart nearby? Because Walmart seems to be overstocked every time.
No, we don't.
Target. I can't say that's a shame.
No, it's not.
Oh, Target's
Target usually has it.
Well, we're just going to have to check Target. And with that, listeners, well, if it's your first time joining us, we actually recap and talk about the weekend pro wrestling, WWE, and have a few fun segments and sometimes go off on some random tangents like we did just now with the cereal. So before we get started with our usual weekly discussion and also preview this weekend's No Mercy pay-per-view, let's kick things off with Kent's moment of bliss.
Yeah, moment of bliss. So, this past Sunday, where was it? It was Sunday. We'll go Sunday. I was looking for something to watch, and I'm on Amazon Prime, because when you're looking for horror, the last place on Earth you really want to look is for the free videos on Amazon Prime. So, scavenging I went, and I came across a title called The Nudist Colony of the Dead. It was made in 1970, and... You know, I honestly went there for two reasons. Nudity and lots of 70s bushy goodness. What I got instead was some ridiculous prosthetics. Barely any nudity. There was a couple of great pairs of tits, like, first 5 minutes, and that was it. But the wowing factor here is that it was a horror musical. I've never seen a horror musical, so I sat here and I was delighted. And it was almost as racist as, I don't know, a current WWE champion, quite frankly, when it comes to the Asian population. So, yeah, that was my moment of bliss this week.
All right, awesome.
That's, yeah. Is it worth watching this movie, or no?
Surprisingly, yeah. Like, at first, I just wrote it off. I'm like, this is garbage. I was like, I am laughing. So, like, I fast-forward it, and by the end, like, they're singing songs about zealots, and I don't know what the hell has happened. Like, the movie goes all over the place, and I imagine if you smoked weed or did drugs and shit, like, it'd probably be better. But, I mean, just from a sober perspective, I was very entertained. Way more so than I can say for, you know, Raw and SmackDown.
That's true. Well, tough week for wrestling.
Very tough week. Speaking of tough, let's quickly, and I mean quickly, guys, talk SmackDown. I mean, really, I think we should just, all three of us should just give it a couple minutes, give an overview, and then move on. Because just between you, me, and our listeners, I thought it was awful. I wasn't impressed. It was poorly constructed, poorly written, and in some points just darn right predictable. Russ, what were your overall thoughts of SmackDown this week?
All right, well, I'm not going to lie to you. I had the thing on, I watched, but nothing pulled me in, and I started playing video games. And almost all of it is a blur, so I don't remember too much. I do remember a few things that I thought were at least noteworthy. Shane coming out in the beginning, basically telling us that he's going to mop the floor with KO in a Hell in a Cell. Okay, fantastic. Very predictable, nothing exciting about that. Then, I remember we're supposed to have AJ versus Corbin, and then 2 seconds in that, okay, this is where I actually stopped playing the video game. It's like, okay, I want to see this match. So I stopped playing the video game. Starts all that stuff up. What happens? I don't know. Corbin attacked AJ before the bell, and then Ty comes out and ruins the match, and we never get the match. So that was garbage. I missed, and I'm really mad about this, I missed Rusev coming out. And one of you guys want to film in this? Ken, maybe you saw this. Because he looked, it was awesome. I guess Randy had a match against Aiden English. And Randy won. It must have been really quickly because I wasn't gone for very long.
It lasted over a commercial break.
It did.
It was probably about a 10-minute match.
Okay, that was the 10 minutes that I was with my son. So I give him 10 minutes a day, and it just happened to be during wrestling this week.
Fatherhood.
Yes.
You're like Titus O'Neil.
I know, exactly. So I was reading with him. So that must have been the 10 minutes. But when I come back, all I see was Rusev running up like a crazy person, like he won a championship. It was pretty awesome. I'm really hoping they go that direction. Oh, do you have a question there, Carrie? Because it looked like you were about to say something.
No, I was just basically going to say, Rusev's number one. Rusev's number one.
I'm going to say right now, I like that direction if they go this direction with him. Like this super excited over really stupid things. I could get down with that with Rusev. Could be fun. Other than that, I mean, there's some other things we definitely want to talk about, but I think we're going to touch on them all together as a group. So I'll leave that off. Other than that, I did like the Fatal 4-Way of the women. What is it with all of a sudden all these Fatal 4-Way 6-pack challenges and all this other crap? What's going on here?
Creative laziness?
Kangaroos. Yep, kangaroos. So, I thought the match was good. Charlotte winning was kind of predictable. But, I was good with it. I thought it was a good match. I did like Crazy Cat Lady Natalya, though. I thought that was pretty funny. That was my thoughts on SmackDown.
Awesome. How about you, Kent?
Jesus, Russ, you're like John Goodman at fucking Thanksgiving. You left no meat on the bones for us to talk about at all.
I gave you one little piece.
Yeah, I'll give you one little fucking piece. Five across the face.
All right.
Dolph Ziggler came out.
Yep. You know what's sad, though? I didn't give that much. So it's not like I said that much. It just means SmackDown was garbage.
You left no meat on the bones. What am I supposed to say? Zack Ryder and Mojo looked sad backstage?
They did look sad.
What the fuck am I left to say here, Russ? You know,
you basically...
Tamina jobbed after being built up because Charlotte came back? Woo? I got nothing. Here's what I have. I read that like when they go on tour in some place for something, or maybe it's for Starrcade in November, they're doing a AJ Styles versus Corbin versus Rusev U.S. Championship match. If that happens, I hope that they record it because that could very well be one of my favorite matches of the year. But that didn't happen on this week's SmackDown.
Nope.
But that's what I have to offer. That and Russ, you are not muted.
Now I am.
Now you are? Good. No, I don't hear any bag rattling anymore.
Okay.
No, that's cool. Hear. No, yeah.
All right, let's talk about one particular segment on SmackDown, shall we, guys? And for our listeners, this will be our... Were you or were you not entertained segment, Let's talk the Jinder Mahal segment. Yeah, that segment fell flat and was, I have to say, borderline almost racist, guys. Kent, what do you think? And, oh, I was not entertained.
Yeah, that was, that's a sort of segment that would have flew high in the 80s. In the 90s, it may have gotten some groans. In 2017, it's pretty unacceptable when your main goal is to attract as many viewers as possible. Wow. And at least if you want to go that route, which I can see some value in insulting your fans of various nations, have somebody who is good on the fucking mic do it, not Jinder Mahal, the worst champion. The worst champion in I don't even know how many years, possibly decades.
When was JBL the last time he was champion?
I'm saying right now Jinder's worse than JBL.
Wow. But
I name one match that has been average of Jinder's since he's been champion.
Oh, none. There's
yeah,
none.
Right. At least JBL had Eddie Guerrero to carry him through some good matches.
True.
Terrible. Not entertained. No.
And Russ?
All right. So, first of all, there's nothing borderline about what they were doing. That was blatant racism. And I understand. Okay. I understand what they were going for. Definitely easy heat. Let's go that route. Easy heat. They used kind of like the today's political climate to kind of dig a easy heat. So that was easy heat. I'm not blaming Jinder at all for that one. It's definitely not Jinder's fault. It's definitely the writers. They're friggin' morons if they thought that was going to fly. I do like the crowd response. I was entertained by the crowd response. I thought that was pretty good. You know, that's too far. That's too far. That was good. I liked that Jinder. Actually, I'll give Jinder some credit. I thought what he did was with a spin on the whole I'm the foreign heel thing. I liked that angle they were going for. Instead of him being like, oh, you don't like me, I'm a heel, he kind of turned it around on the head going, saying he was being basically racist. And then he was telling Shinsuke that they would turn on him the second he became champion. I kind of like what they're going with that. Unfortunately, it was Jinder providing it, so I was not entertained.
I have a question, though. Would that segment have worked if we replace Jinder Mahal with somebody like Hideo Itami, an Asian who can speak English very well? Would that segment have worked better where he was kind of insulting? I think it would have. I think Jinder was just the wrong guy to do it.
Yeah, I would have to say the delivery was a little off. What about you, Russ? I think
if it was an Asian person doing it, I don't think there would, you couldn't call racism on it anyway, because it would be on yourself. So
it's sort of like a gentleman who drop N-bombs and hip-hop hooray. Music?
Yes, yes, or us, white people, talking the way we
are. I could go for some saltines.
Yes, crackers. Only we can say that word.
Wow. All right, let's move on from SmackDown, and that's...
I like watching the Boondocks.
Oh.
And crickets.
Okay.
Uncle Ruckus is my hero.
Fair enough. Anything else for SmackDown, guys? I think we pretty much covered it all.
Is there anything even announced for next week? Like, normally they've been doing a good job at announcing like one or two matches for the following week. Is there anything?
I didn't catch anything.
I didn't pay attention enough to catch anything, so...
Well done, SmackDown, yet again.
Can we talk about, or is this some other thing that you're going to do, Carrie, about SmackDown? You know what I'm talking about, right? Crowd?
Ah, yes. Let's talk about some of the news stories coming out of, well, everywhere this week. and the lack of crowd at some of the live events. Apparently, the crowd was very thin at Raw this week and was bordering on almost TNA tapings at SmackDown. You think the crowds are starting to say, hey, let's just stay home. It's not worth spending money. What do you think, Kent?
I think that it's just a weird time to be a wrestling fan. It's when school's back in session. Historically, this is not a good month for wrestling in general, across the board. So if this continues on into October, then maybe it's a trend. Where were they at this week? California, was it? Or someplace?
Yeah, San Jose.
Yeah, we're in Oakland. Yeah, Oakland, which is notoriously bad.
I mean, in all fairness, California is not known as a hotspot for sports fucking attendance in general. Aside from the Lakers, like, and the Raiders, it's just really not a hotspot for attendance. People just don't give a fuck there.
Fair enough. Russ, what about you?
I don't think it's a trend. I think Kent's kind of right. It is a bad time of the month, year. Football's going on. Kids got school. And...
Go Giants!
I already gave up on them last week, year, so it didn't matter. I mean, as I gave up on because they didn't do anything about the O-line and running game. Screw them. So, they suck.
All I know is we have a Giants fan in my office, and he is getting it from everyone else right now.
Oh, I knew it from the beginning. I've been like, okay, we need a running game and O-line. Running game and O-line. What do the Giants do? Nothing. They suck. So I'm mad at him this year.
Yes. One of the losses resulted in him wearing a Tony Romo jersey for half the day.
He better want to take bets because they are going to lose a lot of games this year.
Yeah, that was probably his error.
Yeah. All right, so back to wrestling, though. I'm worried. Actually, I was a little bit worried when I saw the pictures. There was nobody. The guys were basically, when they were doing their promos, talking to nobody because they had to face the crowd face the camera side, and camera side had to be facing the crowd. So there was like, when they took pictures, people took pictures, there was like nobody on the side that they were facing and talking to, except for like right down by the front. It was really weird. I don't think I've ever seen it that empty. I heard it was only 30 to 40% full for SmackDown, which is really bad. I mean, if you think about it for these guys, right?
Well, with the current product, would you have really been lining up to pay money to see this shit?
Oh, no.
Like, if this was last year and this was happening, I would be upset because this time of year last year, SmackDown was rolling amazingly well.
SmackDown was on fire. Now they're just Raw light.
Yeah. I mean, hell, I kind of even feel it's insulting to TNA, which, by the way, I want to say I just rewatched, like, 4 weeks ago when... they crowned a new champion in Alberto's absence. Two things happened. One, Johnny Abs showed up, and their creative came up with the greatest name ever for a wrestler. Johnny Impact. And people wonder why TNA gets made fun of so much. Secondly...
His name is now Johnny Nitro Morrison Mundo Impact?
Yes. And okay. There may even be another name.
Yeah, Abs. Johnny Abs. So we call him Johnny Abs.
Yeah, there's so many bad things going on there with that. I will say this. They put the belt on a guy named Eli Drake, who I have mentioned months ago on the podcast as one of the guys I wish WWE would have acquired. Very smart move. For a group that really doesn't do a lot of smart things, like they're already getting rid of Jim Cornette and Jeff Jarrett. But they put the belt on the right guy, at least. So Eli Drake's a name to keep in mind for 2 years down the road when TNA is like, sorry, we can't afford you. We had to pay for, I don't know, let's throw
for
it
lighting
Connor.
The,
Because Connor's a big name that'll get you everywhere.
Alright. So, anything else on SmackDown, guys? Or should we...
Yeah, where the hell are... Okay, real quick. Where the hell are the fashion files?
I'm not going to answer that. I'm too sad.
I feel Arn Anderson's involved.
It must be. I think there is. Because that's the one thing I look forward to. In the last 2 weeks, we haven't had it.
Yeah, and there. Plus you made fun of my typo, Russ, in the blog. To which I gave you a lengthy explanation as to what happened.
Oh, it involves
Breeze Dango and Arn Anderson and Bray Wyatt. Basically, my philosophy is that Arn Anderson was Sister Abigail's legitimate father, but Bray and Abigail had the same mother.
Mother, right.
So Breeze Dango got pissed off at the Wyatt family because they got beat down many months ago, and we can't even remember when it happened, but it happened. So they hired Randy Orton to burn down the barn.
Oh, my goodness. This makes sense now.
Everything coming together for you now?
It does. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. That's what happens when you have one fucking typo. That happened.
I wasn't even going to, but just I saw it barn, and I'm like, oh, man, Randy Orton burned down a barn. That would be funny. And I decided to go for it. So that's on the blog, and you can see it at wrestling or 9deuce.com/wrestling.
What was that website again, Russ? I don't think we caught it.
I think it's 9deuce.com/wrestling. Where you can get all your blog needs for wrestling. If you like stupid answers.
Yeah, we tend to like stupid answers. Can we get off of SmackDown now, please?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I was just going to say, let's talk about the big news story of the week, guys. Came out earlier this week that Bobby the Brain Heenan passed away at the age of 73. I guess official cause of death, according to my sources, was he just succumbed to complications from former diagnosis of throat cancer. Really sad. Out of all of the characters from the 80s and 90s, he's one of the ones I remember the most, and I really barely watch wrestling in those years. So let's hear some memories. Russ, how about you first?
Yeah, of course. You know, we're definitely sad to hear of his passing. Not much for me. I only really remember him as a commentator. I know he was a manager, only because I brushed up on some of my history. But as a commentator, he was one of the best. Because one of the things he did really well was he sold the heels extremely well. I remember when I was a kid how much I hated Bobby Heenan. Because all he would do was pump up the heels and give him, like, and make the stupidest excuses. And back then, I didn't know it was real or fake. So I'm just getting angry. Like, this guy's ridiculous. And that's back when I used to just chase the faces. And he did such a good job that I don't think there's anybody like him. I mean, Jerry Lawler came close, but there was a point where Jerry Lawler kind of became a parody of the heel commentator. Nobody did it like Heenan did. And I still remember how much I hated Heenan and how good he was at drawing me in on hating him, which hated the heels, which is exactly what they were going for. So there's not many like him on that commentary. Him and Vince, I remember very well, and they were one of my favorite teams.
How about you, Kent?
Heenan was doing... I don't know if he was doing commentary when I very first started watching. I think he was mainly a manager at the time. He was busy actually helping get the Ultimate Warrior over. Him and Rick Rude. Another great. And I feel like Mr. Perfect was involved, which, once again, another great. Heenan... not was great on commentary in WWE. He was also really good in WCW, although at times he did fall into the same thing that Jerry Lawler happened to later on in his career. But there wasn't a lot to work with at WCW after the original hot NWO angle. With that being said, like his stuff with Gorilla and Mean Gene, I really hope that, you know, we get like a 2-hour documentary with some good stories. I was beyond kind of upset that they didn't do a 10 bell salute, because I feel lesser performers have gotten the 10 bell salute. Because I feel that Heenan was one of the 50 most important people in wrestling history. From top
wouldn't
to bottom.
Wouldn't have been a waste, though, at that pay-per-view, or at that SmackDown. What a waste.
It would have, but I mean, it's just a respect thing.
True, right.
That's the whole thing. And as far as managers go, there's two managers. There's two great managers. There's him, there's Paul Heyman. Bobby did it with so many people. Paul typically only has one or two people at a time. You can pick 1A, 1B. Those are the top guys. And it sucks that Bobby ended up, you know, in the state that he was in for... I mean, gosh, he hasn't looked right in well over 10 years, I don't think. So, it's been a long time coming, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know. I saw a photo of him a couple months ago, and I said, wait, that's Heenan? How? Yeah, I agree. He hasn't looked right for a while, so it's a really sad story and everything with his passing. Well, guys, let's lighten the mood, shall we? Russ, enlighten us about your man crush and cheer us all up.
All right, this was a really tough week for man crushes, because slim pickings all around, nothing really impressed out there. I had a hard time trying to figure out who I should choose. So, my man crush of the week this week is actually going to be... I'm going to have to go with Jack Gallagher. He looked striking. I love his heel persona. I'm not going to lie. I haven't seen too much of 205 yet. But he is looking dapper. And he looked dapper before, but he really looks good when he's going that heel look. So I'm going to go with Jack Gallagher.
Russ, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
How many seconds prior to you saying the word Jack did you actually know the answer to your man crush of the week?
I didn't have one until I was debating between Jack. Okay, ready? I did have Jack, but I didn't want to use him because he's a nice fallback crutch. But there's nothing. Think about this week who I have for choices. There was nobody out there really shining for me. I was thinking Rusev, but I think I've already used him once recently. I didn't want to use Rusev again because he's always handsome. He's another, always a fallback. He's handsome. But I didn't get to really see that either. There was nothing this week for a man crush. I was scouring. I always look for one segment that gives me that man crush. And I was hoping
you'd go with Dustin Rhodes.
I was thinking about it because he came out without his gold dust mask on. But again, it didn't really...
Can I say how old he looks? Like, I know he's old, without the paint...
Without the paint, he looks old. He did not look handsome at all.
But to put that in perspective, I mean, he started wrestling WWF back, like, 1990. Like, he's been around for fucking ever. He's Taker age.
Yeah.
Except his body upheld better. I mean, after the weight gains and whatnot. But, I mean, right. He upheld well.
I was going to say, I think he's a little bit younger than Taker, but not by much. All right?
Can't be by more than a couple of years, I don't think.
Yeah. He is definitely old. Yeah, I also, by the time I got to that match, was paying attention to it, I was done at that point with wrestling to that night. So,
as we all were.
Yeah. So yeah, I had to go with Jack Gallagher. I was trying to think of something that wasn't just Jack, because Jack's an easy target. He always looks good.
Fair enough. I have yet to see the new heel, Jack Gallagher, but I'll have to be on the lookout for him.
He looks good. I'm not gonna lie. He always looked dapper, but they changed his look a little bit, just enough, and it looks good.
So basically, evil becomes him, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, it's almost like he has the mustache for it too.
Nice, very nice.
4 years difference.
4 years. Okay, all right. He's on the verge, but he's doing way more than Taker was at the end.
Well, Taker also had not necessarily a foot, but I mean, he had about 8 inches on him, which with knee and hip problems, I mean, that's the difference.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay, Carrie, now's your chance.
All right, guys, let's and move on to Raw. Let's move on to Raw, and let's talk No Mercy. Actually, let's just preview No Mercy. We can kind of interject elements from Raw in that discussion. To kick things off, let's go with one of the first matches on the card. Let's go with Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt, or as I like to call, the worst built-up match ever. I mean, was Finn Balor even on TV this week, guys? Kent, thoughts? Comments?
Didn't he have a video?
Yeah, I think. I don't know.
I think he had a video.
Yeah, that Finn Balor, he's a young strapping fellow. He's getting over just fine. First red belt champion, got killed by Russ's guy and hasn't quite been the same since. And you feel bad for him, and then you remember that Bray Wyatt won the belt like 6 months ago. He was the world champion like 6 months ago, and now he's taking paint off of Goldust's face, and you're left wondering, huh, how did Finn recover from the acidic bloodbath?
That's what it is. He didn't recover from it. That's why he's been off our television. Because remember, at the SummerSlam, it was Demon Balor. And Demon Balor didn't have the problems that Finn is having now with the acidic bath. That's what it is.
So demons are immune to acid.
Yes, and that makes sense. That's why he's a demon.
Huh. I guess the more important question that Kerry should be asking us after every match is, would we rather see the match or play the N64 video game No Mercy? I would rather play No Mercy than watch this match.
I'd rather play No Mercy, too. Okay. I'll go, I guess.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, Russ, go. Go.
Go? Can I go?
Yeah, go, Goodman.
Go, yes. Okay. All right, so I actually like the build-up for this feud. I like the dynamic. I'm not saying the build. Okay, let me rephrase that. The build-up's been garbage, but I like the dynamic and the angle they're going in at this match with, talking about how Bray, who believes in the supernatural, is trying to denounce the supernatural. That's classic stuff. It's great. It's fantastic. It's just paint and everything. Okay, great. Fantastic. So I am kind of... I like the angle they're going at. It's been poorly built up because, again, where the hell has Finn been? That should be a shirt. Where the hell has Finn been?
Yeah, those will fly off the shelf.
They will, especially if you put 9deuce.com/wrestling on there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So I kind of like what they're doing, and I kind of like that Goldust got interjected into it a little bit. Makes sense. And it gives Goldust something to do. You know, push a younger guy. It's great. I just think it's going to be kind of a lackluster match because the build-up has been eh.
Are they going to somehow interject this into the fact that Goldust was supposedly scouting somebody at SummerSlam? Like, I know that angle was dropped. Like, nobody talked about it since. But, like, is this, like, some kind of redemption for Goldust? Is that maybe he has been scouting?
It's a possibility. I thought maybe it's like, well, they could just pick it right back up and say, I was scouting you, Finn, or whatever. They could definitely do that. Are they? No. I'll crush your dreams right now.
Oh, of course not. I mean, continuity in our WWE?
It would make a lot of sense. It's perfect. I mean, they interjected Goldust to give him something to do. I think it would be the perfect opportunity for them to get it back on track. It's easy. But no, they won't do it.
Fair enough. All right, guys. I think we've covered this one. Let's go around the horn. Our picks. I'm picking Bray Wyatt for the win. Russ, who you got?
It's got to be Bray, I think. Demon won last time, so Bray's got to win this, or it's going to be a stupid feud afterwards.
Kent?
Wasn't Goldust just a heel?
Yes.
So what the fuck's he doing right now? Like, I'm sorry, I know I'm supposed to be giving you a pick here, but he was just turned heel, like, less than 2 months ago. What
the
fuck?
This is WWE. They can't make their minds up. They're like, you're heel.
All right, Bray wins by interference of Goldust. Goldust will now align with Bray. I mean, why not just go for some batshit thing that makes no sense?
It's true. I definitely think there's going to be interference. I don't think this is a clean win for Bray.
Fair enough. All right, guys, let's move on. Cruiserweight time. We got Neville and Enzo Amore fighting over the cruiserweight belt. I enjoyed Raw this week, watching Braun basically dismantle Enzo. That was great.
Why did he do it? Did they even give a reason, or did he just come out and just beat up Enzo? Because who the hell doesn't want to beat up Enzo?
I think he just came out and did it. Ken, any thoughts on that?
I think it was just WWE's way of saying, look, we know the story broke. Let's just take advantage of it. Let's take our most popular guy and have him come out and beat the shit out of Enzo. And so they did.
What story broke?
I'm going to ignore you.
I'm seriously confused. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and if he's confused, it probably means our listeners are. So what's the story?
That Enzo is disliked by everybody?
Oh.
Oh, yeah, we knew that.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know that's what you were talking about. Okay, sorry. Because I thought that was obvious. Sorry.
Yeah, I thought it was obvious too, but I just had to fucking explain it, so apparently it was not so obvious. Enzo's winning this. There's less than 1% doubt in my mind that Enzo's winning this because he can get on the mic and he can consistently be on Raw because of his mic skills until they can figure out who they want to put over next as a heel, and my guess would be Jack, or else there was no real reason to turn him heel. So Enzo for the win.
Russ, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to say this. I love the Braun beatdown, but I just didn't know why they did it. I mean, I don't personally care. It's Enzo. Sure, beat the crap out of him. It's fun. And Braun can beat up anybody. It's awesome. I really like that how Neville came out as Braun was going back. Neville was kind of like, and then walked past him. And then he went down and did a nice red arrow. That was very nice. I'm going to say not this time. I think Neville still wins it here, retains. They need to build this feud up a little bit more. 1 month and Enzo winning, that's just stupid. We need a little bit of a build up here. Give Enzo...
like Austin Aries did, and then it never fucking ends?
You're right. That's why they can't make the build-up forever in every single month. It's got to be this month.
Boo, Russ, boo.
I'm with Neville winning, but in boo. Survivor Series.
No.
Survivor Series.
No. No more of this. Build it up for fucking 2 or 3 months. Fucking just pull the fucking trigger and move the fuck on.
I remember when you used to like building up. Now you're like, pull the trigger.
Because, okay... Miz versus Dean fucking Ambrose. The feud that they may still be feuding for all I know, okay? So, yeah. Fuck building up feuds anymore. Just give me random matches on a week-to-week basis. I'm happy as hell.
I'm gonna have to agree with Kent on this one. I think they should just pull the trigger on Enzo and let's move on. Especially since they have the best storyline going on 205 Live right now that no one's talking about. Not even us, guys.
Drew?
Have you guys heard? Yes.
I don't know.
Apparently Drew Gulak... pronouncing his name right? This
Gulak.
Is really bad that I... Yes. He has a no-fly campaign going.
Well, there's he's always had that.
Yeah, but
this has been going on for like 3 months, hasn't it?
Yeah, at least.
How am I just finding out about this?
Good journalism here.
But he had the PowerPoint, right, this past week or so?
Yeah. I mean, good. It's been great, and I don't know why they haven't put that on Raw at all. Like, it's
seriously.
Really bad on... Like, this would be gold on Raw. Like, fucking blowing it. As always.
But I think it came on my radar because somebody actually posted the story. Here is the best wrestling story going on right now that you are not watching.
That's true.
I just want to point out that out of everybody involved in the SummerSlam matchup between Big Show and Cass, mm-hmm. Enzo's the only successful person right now. Nobody called that.
No.
Nobody in their right mind called that.
And you can't teach that either. That's the problem.
How you doing?
All right.
You know, with 205, I can only watch every once in a while. I'll put it on. There's just too much wrestling. I can't watch so much friggin' wrestling.
So they're not good at turning you on.
No, they're not. But if I could replace 205 with a part of Raw, I'd be so happy.
So basically, you're going off the question that was asked at a certain website.
Yes, basically. Yeah. Well, you asked the question I thought about. I was like, I would love to watch 205 if it was a part of Raw, because I don't feel like every other time I can watch other shows, I'd rather watch them. I still haven't finished Glow yet, God damn it! I want to finish it. It's awesome.
Right, like we already have pre-programmed in our head that we're going to set aside this obnoxious amount of time on Mondays
exactly.
for Raw.
Yes.
So if they would just put 205 on there, it would kill two birds with one stone for
yes.
us who have this disgusting, sickness, abusive relationship
yes.
with wrestling. We could get everything done. Hell, if SmackDown just wants to give us a half hour of NXT, then I wouldn't have to watch anything on WWE Network that wasn't Ride Along.
Exactly. It would be great. And I'd still keep my network because the pay-per-views, it's worth it for just the pay-per-views. So.
Oh, $120 a year for all the pay-per-views? Hell yeah.
Yeah. So, WWE, you're really missing the boat here. Give us the crap quick on live TV. Especially if you're going to give us garbage. If you're going to keep on giving us garbage, at least give it to us on free TV. All right,
Fair
sorry.
Enough. All right, let's move on. We have the tag team title match next. Let's talk about... what happened on Raw, and give our predictions for the Fist Bros versus The Bar. Or, to those who don't know what we're talking about, Ambrose and Rollins versus Cesaro. Kent, your thoughts?
Well, I don't know. I think Gallus and Anderson have been really hot coming into this matchup, so I think they have just as good of a chance as anybody else, really. I mean, let's face it, they're going against a couple of nerds, right? So,
Kent?
Gallus and Anderson are not in this match, even though they were clearly big time into
what?
Raw.
I mean, for the past 6 weeks, they've been telling me that Gallus and Anderson are involved in this feud. How can they not be in this match?
I know how you get confused. I mean, at first, I was thinking, Kerry, you missed one of those teams, but...
Wow, that's really good booking, WWE. Oh, so now I just got a normal tag team match, and the Fistiest just jobbed on Raw, so yeah. Under no circumstances should they be winning, Dean should be turning heel, and things would be fun again, but that's not going to happen, and I just don't care, because... Cesaro's the best thing they got going on Raw that's not named Braun Strowman. He really is. I mean, they really are. Fucking utilize them. They're great right now. No, not going to happen. Fuck them.
Wow.
How about you, Russ?
Well, I'm going to say... Wow, Kat. It was just... I'm going to say this is one of the best feuds that's been built up. One of the best. No, it's not the best, but it's one of the best.
Will they fist bump or will they not fist bump? Will they touch knuckles or will
that
they not?
That was before this part of the feud. That was before this, Kat. We're beyond that now.
The
next part.
Rest of the feud has been Gallus and Anderson coming out looking awesome, and that's been the feud.
You're right. Gallus and Anderson coming out looking awesome. Cesaro and all three of these teams have been putting on a great show since SummerSlam. So I'm not going to fault them. This is probably the best part of Raw right now. I mean, they are Okay, no, I shouldn't say it's the best part, because Braun's always the best part. Let's face that.
It's been the best division on Raw.
It has been the best division. Let's go with that. That's a better, that is a better accurate part of that. They've been the best division on Raw. They've been clearly great. I just don't understand, why is Gallows and Anderson not a part of this match? It only would have made it better. The only thing I can see is they definitely have to have a match, right? They've been building them up. Why would they not have a match at No Mercy?
Is there any chance that Gallows and Anderson help Finn destroy Bray? And then Bray brings back Rowan and Harper?
No.
This would be great. This would be money, right?
You're right. You think it'd be great, so guess what the answer is?
Nerds.
Yes, they are nerds. I did like that segment, by the way. I like the whole nerds vibe, the movie and stuff like that. I thought that was a great callback. I'll give him credit for that one. But yeah, I do want to see this match because all four competitors are some of my four favorites. Even Cesaro's got in there. Cesaro. I used to hate Cesaro so much because I thought he was boring. And now he's one of my favorites. So, yeah, that's it. Gallows and Anderson have to have a match. If they don't, I'm going to be really mad. Even if it's on the kickoff show, give them a match.
Yeah, I kind of have to echo what you're saying, Russ. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous that even on Monday night they didn't put Gallows and Anderson in there.
Yeah, they put... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I mean, considering every single week they've been involved...
Yeah, they've been more involved with what they've been doing with Gallows or Cesaro in the Fisties, and then Bayley, who came out of nowhere this week, and all of a sudden she's put in that match. Oh boy, that makes sense. Let's put Bayley in a match.
Jesus Christ, John Goodman, leave some meat on the bones for that segment.
Sorry, just really take me off.
Fucking Ryback over here, fucking feed me more, give me more stuff to talk about. I'm Galactus, nom nom nom.
All right, we'll get there.
I'm sorry, really, it just aggravated me. I just thought about that. I was like, how is Gallows and Anderson not doing anything when they've been a huge part of this feud? And she comes back for 5 seconds and she's in the friggin' match.
Too soon, Russ. Too soon.
All right. Russ is just dying to talk about the women's title match. So
we got to finish our predictions.
Let's do predictions. And also, I want you guys to answer whether or not you think they're going to add Gallows and Anderson to this thing on Sunday. I'm going to say I want Cesaro to win, and I think they're going to add Gallows and Anderson. Russ, your pick?
Okay, I want Cesaro to win, but it's definitely going to be Fisty McFisterton's winning this one. I don't think Gallows and Anderson are going to be entered into it, but they are going to have a match maybe for a number one contendership. That will put them in the feud with Rollins and Ambrose next.
And Ken.
The fisting fuckaroos fuck us over again as fans. And no Gallows and Anderson at the pay-per-view. Not even seen, not mentioned, no nothing.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't that be the saddest outcome? And does WWE love to sustain on our tears?
Yes. If it's the worst thing you can think of, it's probably the direction they're going. Not always, but
almost.
And speaking
of the worst things they could think of, let's talk the Raw Women's title match. So we saw Bayley return this week. And immediately she gets added to the women's title match. Also, guys, where was Emma this week? She's in the title match, too. Why wasn't she out there during that segment?
I have the answer to that.
Help me sort this out.
She stayed in Australia when they were on tour, and she stayed and visited with family and friends because she realized, hey, Bailey's coming back. Nobody gives a fuck about me. I'm here to eat a pinfall. So you know what? I may as well enjoy some time with my friends and family because I may not have a job for much longer. And that's what she did because zero fucks are given. Like, WWE built her up and then just said, fuck it. Oh, Bayley's coming back. We're really excited. We're not going to push her, but we're really excited. And we're going to make her look really bad in matches with Bliss. But hey, Bayley's back, so title match it is. And Mickie James is like, the fuck do I have to do to get an ounce of respect around here? Good job. I mean, this was actually this this was almost as good as the tag team division since SummerSlam. The women's division has been great since SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
And then in one fell swoop, they just said, fuck you to the fans. So, good job.
They did. Like, the second they added Bayley, it pissed me off because they forced Nia and Emma to fight for their spots. But as soon as Bayley walks in, oh, she's in the match. And I was like, why? Why can't she sit out one friggin' pay-per-view where it's not that far away? She could have sat this pay-per-view out.
Right, she's never been kissed before.
That's true.
That's why.
You're right. That's why. Right. Got to get her into that. So I didn't get it. It didn't make any sense to me. I am really pissed off that they added her. I'm really pissed off because you know how... Okay, this is how big of a stink WWE is making about this. Everyone keeps on saying that Emma is not taking the pin on Sunday. They actually made it a news story because everybody was like, okay, that's what Emma's there for. She's taking the pin. And they're like, no, she's not. She's not taking the pin. Bullshit. She's taking the fucking pin. I can't see Bayley. I can't see Sasha. And definitely not friggin' Nia taking the pin. So you're looking at me weird. I just thought maybe you were going to say something. So I don't see...
Carrie, stop looking at him weird.
Yeah, seriously, Carrie, come on. You're freaking me out. I can't see anybody but Emma taking this pin. And it sucks, because you're right, they were building her up decently. They finally started a little thing with her and kind of got a little bit of momentum, and they're instantly like, oh, Bayley's back, screw you, Emma. Although I will say this, if Emma is definitely not going to have a job left, why would she go visit friends and family when she has the job? Wouldn't she stay at the job?
She started the Women's Revolution, Russ.
She did, you're right. That's true.
If there's a hashtag, it's the truth.
That's true.
.com.
All right, let's do our picks and move on. I'm hoping Alexa retains. Kent?
Emma. Emma's winning the belt.
She's going to win. She's going to pin Bayley, and it's going to shock the fucking world.
And then she's going to be perfect to put over Asuka. There's the trick, because they don't want anybody else to put over Asuka yet. Emma's the perfect bait. No credibility's lost. Then they can save all those big matchups against Asuka. Trust me, this is what they're planning.
You know, I was going to laugh in your face and make a really ridiculous bet with you, but that sounds almost too brilliant for WWE to do.
I know,
but
it
makes sense.
They don't want to job out anybody to...
But how long is Asuka... How much longer is Asuka out?
Asuka's only out for maybe another month at most.
Yeah, so give Emma the belt now. Give her, build her up a little bit of credibility. Survivor Series have... Oh my God, you're right. Holy shit.
Emma's
winning.
That belt.
Emma's winning. Yeah. All right, Emma.
I like this plan, and I really hope to be a part of it.
You talked me into it, Kat. I'm going with Emma for win. She isn't eating the pin. She's going to get the pin.
So what's your pick, Russ?
Emma. I'm sold. Kat got me.
Yeah, I'm switching my pick to Emma, too.
Because it's definitely not happening. If you want my real pick, it's Alexa. But, I mean, Emma, that's great. I love it. Kent's got it's a brilliant idea, and it makes so much sense. And it seems kind of dumb that WWE might just do it.
Fair enough. Speaking of stupid things that the WWE has done, let's talk the IC title match. So, Jason Jordan won the right to face The Miz at No Mercy this weekend for the IC title. There was a segment that kicked off Raw with The Miz insulting Kurt Angle, which got Jason Jordan upset. Let's talk about all that, then we'll issue our picks for this match. Russ, let's start with you.
Okay, so I'm just going to say that I feel really bad for The Miz. Really, really bad. Did not defend the title at SummerSlam. Then, has no... granted, they were working up a feud to Jason Jordan and The Miz. They've been doing it since SummerSlam. So I can say that there's been a feud brewing. But they completely ignore The Miz until the absolute last minute that they can make him a match. And they do. And it is with Jason Jordan. Okay. Fine. I guess. I just... Miz should be doing so much more. He should be defending that belt and giving it the luster it deserves. He should be making that championship great again, and they're not doing anything with it, and it really ticks me off. I mean, The Miz with Jason Jordan, unless this is some kind of, like, underdog, undercard match of the year, it's not going to give the belt any luster. Do you think, guys think it's going to do anything for that?
Not at all.
Kent? Do you think...
I think. Like, it matters. I mean, for fuck's sakes. I mean, next week, they may as well have a 10-bell salute for fucking Miz's Intercontinental title reign. Alright, first and foremost, it's weird how noticeable it is that Maryse isn't out there. She never says anything, but it was so noticeable and makes Miz's act seem a little less cool. Having the hot chick with three other dudes... outdoes Paige a little bit.
That's just a little bit out of Paige's range.
Yeah. But she's working her way up in Florida. Hooray.
Yeah.
So that hurts. I'm starting to... I started sensing this about a month ago that they really wanted to make Jason have a career arc, like, angle.
Yes.
I can see Jason getting the belt and quickly turning heel within the month. That seems to be the most likely scenario for me. Like, who's left for the Miz to even put over?
They've wasted.
There's
it.
Really not many options. So, Miz is kind of maybe just give the Miz like 3 months. Just give him 3 months off so he can film, you know, the Marine 27 or something. I don't know.
You know, enjoy fatherhood, too. Well,
he deserves it. He deserves some good time off, and let Jason Jordan fail miserably, because that's what's going to happen.
Now, okay, we have seen decent matches with Jason Jordan in them. Do you think Miz is the opponent to continue that, or do you think this is not going to be a very good match?
Nah, I'm not. Miz is a high quality wrestler. His moveset doesn't really match up well with Jordan's. Jordan really needs to still be carried, and like, you know how Miz had really great chemistry with Dolph, for instance.
Yes.
That chemistry is just not going to be there. This just isn't the right matchup for Jason Jordan to get over. It's just a bad matchup. Sometimes there's bad matchups. This is it.
I hope we're wrong. I hope this is like a match of the year candidate, which doesn't mean much. So we're not talking like it has to be 4 stars or anything, or a 9 deuce even. I hope it's good, but I don't think you're right. I don't see Miz carrying Jordan like Roman and Cena can, because their matchups, they set up their fighting styles kind of match up a little bit with his.
I think if anything, like somebody like Elias has more in common with Jordan. I think they could have put on a better match than Miz and Jordan would, considering their styles. Not saying that Elias is great. I just think styles, they would have matched up better.
Right.
So basically what both of you are saying is they really are pushing this way too soon.
If Jason Jordan wins, absolutely, it's too soon.
I agree.
Fair enough. All right, guys, which picks? I guess I'm going to go with Jordan winning, because that's where I think this is headed. Russ, what do you got?
I'm going to think WWE keeps its senses for at least another month. I'm going to say Miz.
And Kent.
I think Russ is a moron.
Probably. I mean, I am, but...
I think Jordan's getting the belt here. I think we're going to have a lot of title changes, quite frankly.
That could be good.
Because so far I've already predicted 3 the four titles change.
All right, let's talk about a match that has no title at stake. Just a lot of ego. I like to dub this match, I don't know about you guys, the Let's Go Small Meteor match, because I really hope a meteor hits the ring during it. Let's talk Cena versus Reigns, the buildup that has ensued, and the, well, endless, repetitive, same old promo style from and information from both guys. Kent, help me sort this out.
Yeah, I don't want to. I just don't want to. I don't give a fuck. I really, really am okay if I fall asleep before this match goes on. I'm going to be mad if I miss the main event. But really, if that's the sacrifice, I'm willing to take it. I'm willing to miss both this and the main event because I have zero fucks to give about two petulant, whiny... it feels like a Twitter war. And I'm sorry, I'm
with
a man.
With the Kardashians?
I can't do this. I just can't. No, fuck this. Fuck it in entirety.
All right, Russ, your thoughts?
All right. Well, first of all, what a royal fuck up to have John Cena at a SmackDown tour the night before Raw in Japan. So there was no way in hell a sane person could get from Japan to wherever the hell they were in Raw. So he wasn't on the show. What the fuck were they thinking? That is stupid. The one thing that John Cena and Roman Reigns has been missing was a little bit of physicality, and we got none of that. This
what do you mean they had the battle of snarkiness, Russ?
That
was so well done. We've never seen it before. It was historic. It was the first time ever we've seen some guy say, John Cena, you did something bad backstage, and then we mentioned Alex Riley, and everything's supposed to be... It's like the fucking lunchroom at high school, or the fuck again.
But anyway...
I could go for a peanut butter ball.
Oh, man, I love those things. They were fantastic, weren't they?
Ooh, those are tasty.
See, and this would be better than the fucking match that we're... give a fuck about.
I'm going to say, I do want to see the match. When was the last time Roman Reigns put on a bad match?
Quarter past never.
Okay, so the match is going to be good. Let's at least look at the positive. Do I care who wins? No, I don't give a fuck. I definitely Roman, though. Well, I don't give a fuck who's going to win it.
Do you think it's a guarantee, though, that it's going to be like this long match? Do you think there's any possibility of WWE like pulling like a quick win and surprising people?
Nope. No. This is going to be at least a 20-er. I could even see it going more, but it's at least 20. The only reason is because the only way they're going to do this is because John Cena has his movie next week or whatever the hell he's doing next week or next month. So he's gone for a while.
Pitch Perfect 7 or something?
Yeah, probably. So he's gone. So they need to get, if they're going to do this, Roman has to get the win, I think, right? I don't know. I think it's going to be a good match. I will watch it. I won't have any issues with it. Do I care who wins? Not really.
Well, at least pick who you think is going to win, Russ.
All right, fine. Roman. Only reason I say Roman is because got to pass that torch on to that boy. Roman needs another torch. He doesn't get enough of them. If he's going to be the leader, he needs all the torches.
And Kent.
With the amount of torches that Roman has and his hair being as oily as it is, he'd be...
He's a fire hazard.
He'd be ashier than Sister Abigail, okay? So
he'd be more burnt up than Bray's Bard.
I mean, flame on here with that shit. No. Fucking C Nation, man.
He should be going off like a Roman candle.
Yeah. Or a Roman Polanski.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go with Cena because... I don't care. I think Cena's the funnier way to go with it, and I just don't care. If a giant meteor, small meteor, a meteor of any size just drops and possibly is flaming, we all win.
I pick the meteor. And if that fails, I too pick Cena. All right, guys, let's talk about the actual important main event, the match where I know all three of us are looking forward to. The Universal title match, Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman. I am so excited for this match. I can't wait to see it. I know I won't get to see it because I'll probably fall asleep before it even happens. And with that said, it's probably going to leave me disappointed because Brock's going to probably retain anyways. So why am I even wasting my breath? Russ, what are your thoughts?
All right. So everything Braun has done up to this point has been gold. Gold. He does not. I don't think he knows what to do. How do they know how to write him? But every other person on that damn roster, they can't write to save their goddamn lives. Braun has been done perfectly. This is exactly what you want from a wrestler. And they're doing it perfectly for Braun. But everybody else, they're fucking up. I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense.
I think scared of Braun.
Good. Be scared of the rest of them because Braun, they've been doing great with Braun. I love how they've been building this up. This was really well done. The physicality in the beginning and then kind of waning off of it was actually really good because we got a taste of it already, so we knew it was going to happen. We know that Braun can take it to Brock. I just hope they don't fuck it up and keep the belt on Brock because that's what they're going to fucking do. But it would be great if they were smart and said no. The Braun can have the belt for a couple of months. It's great practice for him. He's going to have it eventually at some point. So why not give it to him now? Great buildup. This has been a fantastic buildup. Paul Heyman has been fantastic on the mic with it. Braun doing Braun things, fantastic. And Brock kind of seeming like a bitch a little bit has been nice. So I love this feud. I can't wait for this match.
Kent, how about you?
So, let me get this straight. This past Monday is the last Monday Night Raw before a pay-per-view. So, on this Raw, they say, well, we're going to remove a tag team that's been involved in the tag team feud for the titles. We're going to remove them. We're going to add a female to a title match that she did nothing
complete
to
fuck
earn.
Ups. You're right, complete fuck-ups.
We're going to send one of our guys that's in our double main event on a tour for the other brand. And we're going to have a pre-taped segment with our other main event guy. That's how you do your
all right.
Your go-ahead.
Okay, so you're right. Fair enough. This week was a fuck-up. But Braun did great things. You can't blame Braun, okay? Braun did great things.
I'm not blaming Braun. I'm saying that on an epic scale of fuckery, I mean, this is a perfect 10. Ty Dillinger is impressed, okay? So, kudos to Raw. Like, I've never seen a go-home show this mildly retarded.
This
like,
was bad. Yeah.
Such poor planning on... and I mean, let's not forget, Finn appears via video. Like,
now, hold on. You know what? You bring up a good point. There have been a lot of bad go-home shows lately.
This was one
of the worst. I almost want to say it is the worst. I usually go home shows, I'll play a video game every once in a while, but it's a video game I can keep track of the wrestling. This week, I was fully engrossed in my video game, and the wrestling was just on. I did not care. And there was nothing that drew me in except for a couple of things. Braun beating the crap out of Enzo, and the triple threat match. Or no, yeah, whatever. What really kind of match was it? It was a triple threat, but it wasn't triple threat. It was like tag team turmoil, was it?
It was some kind of fuckery.
Yeah, that was a good match. I actually thought that was a great match.
And when you think about it, the go-home show did two things. It promoted the Cruiserweight match.
Yep.
And the Intercontinental title match. That's 2 out of 7 matches, so bravo. As for the main event, I mean, let's face it. We all know they should put it on Braun, so that kind of makes it quite obvious who's going to win.
He's not winning.
So what are our picks, guys? Kent, you first.
The Beast. Wait, no. If I say Braun, that would say I'd say 4 out of 5 titles changing hands. That is awfully tempting. I'm going to switch it. I'm going to go with Braun.
All right, Russ.
I feel if I say Braun, it's going to be Brock. But I feel if I say Brock, there's a chance it's going to be Braun. So I'm going to say Brock.
You poor fool.
Well, this is the way I look at it. Brock winning, then I'll be like, I called it. Braun winning, I'm like, sweet, I was wrong. Woo!
Oh, Russ having the pause. That was nice.
I'm paused?
I think we lost Russ. Oh, I think,
oh. I'm right here. I can see you guys.
We lost you. It was great.
Oh, what did I say? What was the last thing you heard me say?
I don't know. You got really amped, and then you just froze. I was like, wow, you are doing good.
I was saying, all right, I'll do it again, even though I already said it, and my audio will already have it. But I'll say it again anyway. I'm just going to say, I feel that if I choose Brock and he wins, I'll be like, I called it. But if Braun wins, then I'll be excited anyway, even though I didn't call it. So I win either way.
You know what would have been great if Heath's video would have paused right at the right moment again.
That would have been funny. I would have had to explain it a third time.
Yeah, that would have been funny. So for my pick, I want Braun to win, but it's going to be Brock. Because they like to disappoint me.
Oh, yes.
I am way, way too amped about a possible Braun win here. So Brock's winning. All right, so there you go, listeners. Those are our picks for No Mercy. And also our thoughts on this week's Raw. Now, let's move on to something I know these two gentlemen are very, very interested to hear about. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for me to announce my results of who won the Raw SmackDown redraft.
Oh, yeah, we did that, didn't we?
Yes, yeah, and I won quite handily, quite frankly.
No, you only picked some of her favorite wrestlers. So if she was,
when you have
very
one
fair,
judge, who do you go for? Do you appease the judge, or do you go for your own personal whims? Moron?
I'm going for the own personal. I'm sorry, I had to go for the base.
No, you suck up like a motherfucker.
There's right. A lesson for you, kids. Suck up.
All right, you see, I knew you guys would start doing this, so. I am going to explain how I actually determined the winner. I actually did a really, really systematic analysis for this, guys. I looked
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo?
No. I actually looked at each division, you know, upper card, mid card, tag team, women, and I assigned a point in which one I thought was stronger. Well, I looked at both selections for the upper card, and I'm sorry, but I had to give a little bit of an edge to SmackDown. SmackDown was awarded a point.
He did pick better on the main on the heavyweights.
Yeah, he did. And really, it kind of seemed lopsided, almost like it is now in reality. Also, picking Braun, definitely a plus in my eyes. Mid-card / lower card, I have to say, stronger picks for Raw. So, Russ, you got a point there. Moving on to tag team division. It just seems like, to me, during the draft, Russ, you put all your eggs into that basket.
Well, it's the best basket because you can separate a lot of those baskets.
That's true, and also a certain double-edged sword is involved in
yes,
the tag
that,
division.
So definitely
I had
a double-edged
to
sword.
Award 1 point to Russ for the tag team division.
Woo!
Moving on to the women's division.
I know I didn't win that one.
Is significantly stronger than Raw's.
Even though I had Asuka. I mean.
That's all you had.
I know. I stirred up. I really needed to pick another woman right away, and I didn't.
Yes, you had Asuka, but, I mean, Kat has Alexa, Nia, Charlotte, Bailey, Paige, Mickey. It's just. There's so much possibilities.
I had Sasha.
You did?
And
yeah.
Her forehead?
Yeah, I had Sasha, didn't I?
I don't know.
You can't have... Remember. There's no way you got Nia, Bailey,
well,
Charlotte,
Russ, at one
and
point
Sasha.
You decide that your med card was way more important than women, and women
yes,
deserve
yes.
Equal opportunity.
That's true. I didn't... Except for Asuka. I was just...
And with that being said, 1 point was awarded to the SmackDown Women's Division. Moving on to the announcer team. All right, so... Yes, I'm going. There's only one way I can describe who got the point for the announcer team. He who chose Corey Graves.
Yeah, I know. I was really mad about
that.
Didn't you have first choice for the announcers, right? Because there's no way I would have chose someone else above Corey, did I?
No, you chose Renee. You did fine.
Yeah, but you chose Corey first, didn't you?
Right, because you got the first pick.
No, you got the first pick.
you got the first pick overall, so I got first dibs on the
Right. There was no way I was winning. I was like, "What's?" Because once I knew you got the first pick, you're going to take Corey. I was so pissed.
So with that said, listeners, Kent, you're the winner.
I am
favoritism. Favoritism. Sorry, got a little cough there. I had to get it out.
Yeah, I can tell. I think that also smells like a little bit of a sour grapes.
No, I didn't have any sour grapes. That's disgusting. Kent, do you like sour grapes?
I don't know if I've ever had them.
Ever.
Then you don't watch wrestling very often.
Nope. No, I do not.
All right, so listeners, there you have it. We have recapped the week for you. We have given you our picks for No Mercy. And you now know the winner of the Are You Not Kentertained redraft. Now, let's start focusing on next week before we go to our favorite game, Guess the Wrestler. But first, let's talk what we're not finished with yet in our segment, I'm Not Finished With You Yet. I'm looking forward next week to seeing the fallout from No Mercy. How about you, Kent?
I don't know. I have to admit that, although, you know, like the whole Emma dream, it's just a dream. So with that being said, I'm kind of curious about the follow-up with the gender thing. That's what I got.
Russ?
Yeah, Kent kind of took mine.
Headlights.
Yeah, I was thinking the gender thing would be kind of fun. No, all right. I'm going to say that I am actually interested in seeing where Roman Reigns goes to next. I kind of want to know. I mean, he'll have already taken out all the other torches that he needs. So where is he going now? It's too early for him to go for the belt if it's going to be at Mania. So
it'll be for the Miz.
Maybe.
Calling it.
Fair enough. All right. So there you have it, listeners. Let's close. Before we officially say goodbye to our listeners for the night, guys, let's play Guess the Wrestler. So this week, listeners, it was my pick to pick the wrestler. So I have picked the wrestler. And the rules for this game are as follows, just in case it's your first time joining us. Russ and Kent have 9 questions to figure out who my wrestler is, and then they have 2 guesses. All right, here is the information that I can automatically give to you guys. My wrestler is a male and is a former wrestler.
Ooh, former. Kent, do you want to go first? Do you want me?
What era did they wrestle?
Late 90s, early 2000s.
What was their, where were they most known for? Raw, you know, WCW, WWE, whatever. Any of those, SmackDown, Raw?
Primarily WWE.
Okay.
Is this person a Hall of Famer or worthy of the Hall of Fame?
No.
Okay. Any... Were they major title holders or any type of title holders in the WWE? I'll go specific.
This person held both singles titles and tag team titles.
What color hair?
Kind of blonde, if you would believe, like blonde hair, kind of brown hair, frosted tips.
Well, that was helpful, at least.
That was helpful, actually.
And
the only person I can think of. Okay. Did this person have any moves? Like, that we would be like signature moves that we absolutely would know?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, goes that guy.
Yeah.
Zip, okay. Takes that back.
Brown frosted tips. Oof. Just the tips. All right.
Let me clarify. At least the photo I was looking at, that was the case.
That's important. It can't be now that he has blonde. He can't be frosted tips now. That doesn't help us.
All right. I have an inkling. Did this person ever wrestle in ECW?
Let me check. No.
Okay.
Good. That eliminates a lot.
All right. Okay. So, how many more questions do we have? We got like two, three?
I think we got two.
All right. So, let's be careful now. All right.
Do you want to find out if they're face or heel predominantly?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe we should go that direction. So, was this person mostly either face or heel in their personas?
Kind of both, with most it looks like face.
Shit. You got any other thoughts here, Russ, before I ask the final question?
I don't know. It's kind of tough.
Because at first I thought Rikishi, but he's...
Oh, I was thinking Rikishi. Oh, yeah, I was thinking Rikishi.
Scotty Too Hotty.
Scotty Too Hotty.
Did Brian Christopher ever have the frosted tips?
I don't...
Because he didn't have any signature moves.
No, he didn't. But he did have a lot of championships. Let's see. Brian Christopher. Let me see.
Because she probably looked him up on Wikipedia, which means that if you find a picture of a guy with blonde hair...
Yes.
All right. All right, Carrie.
And at least he would connect with Scotty Too Hotty, so...
Was this guy related to any other professional wrestler?
No.
It is not Brian
Christopher. It's not Brian Christopher. All right.
Well.
Because he's Lawler's kid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to make sure. I couldn't remember.
Oh.
Wow, I don't...
I'm really lost on this one.
Okay, here are my thoughts now. Who's left? It could be Edge, but he wasn't predominantly WWE. He's was a Hall WWE, Famer. And he's a Hall of Famer. Damn, that's right. Okay.
I don't know if Christian isn't though.
No, Christian isn't.
I have to correct one of my answers. He was an ECW.
Ooh. Okay, that isn't necessarily a bad thing, but...
No, but that really... Yeah.
Shit. It's not Dreamer, it's not Sandman, it's not Raven, it's not Taz, it's not Shane Douglas, it's certainly not New Jack. It's not Austin, it's not the Dudleys... It's not Perry Saturn, as far as I can tell, because he's already been utilized. It's not Sabu. It's not RVD, who was used last week.
Yeah.
It would have to be somebody that only appeared, like, very briefly, I would assume.
What about Mike Awesome? Would he have frosted tips at that point?
Kerry would have known he was an ECW.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Good point.
It was somebody that was in ECW a very short period of time. Probably an unremarkable person. Wasn't right. Hall of Fame worthy. Probably didn't make much of an impact. Maybe a hardcore champion. Not Crash, not Holly.
Well, see, I was thinking maybe Crash.
Crash was in ECW.
Oh, damn. Okay.
I'm trying to think of the whole No Mercy roster.
What about Spike?
Once again, she should have known that he was in ECW.
You're right, but maybe she just didn't think about it.
Carrie, I mean, Spike, that dumb. That's a funny question.
Okay. All
right. I will give you guys one hint. Only because right. You didn't ask it, and I'm very shocked that you didn't ask it. Alive or dead?
Okay, alive or dead?
Dead.
Ooh. Now. Well,
that could be anybody.
And I'm going to clarify on the hair question as well. He had two hairstyles. Early years, long blonde hair. Later years, nice cut, short to the head, frosted tips.
Now I kind of want to say, when did they die? That would have been a question I would have asked, but.
So many people died in that era.
I know.
Canyon, Test, Bam Bam, Candido.
Test! What about Test?
Test wasn't. Test technically was an ECW, WWE ECW. I'm going to go with Candido. Is it Chris Candido?
No.
Damn it.
I'm going to go with Test. Long blonde, long flowing hair in the beginning of his career, short blonde, brownish hair at the end. Test. Test. This is a test.
Yes, Russ. You are correct. This was
that was a very. It was a very helpful hint that you gave. The long blonde hair and then the short. That kind of... And the dead. Obviously the dead.
I remember Eric actually texted me that Test was dead.
I remember that too.
I was very upset.
Actually, it was Eric's suggestion that I pick Test tonight.
Aww. And you made Kent bring up bad memories. Look at that.
I am so sorry.
Just he like Corbin, slated he'll to never marry reach Stephanie. His potential.
Yeah.
He'll never reach it.
Poor that was a good one because you had us. If you didn't give us the blonde hair one, I don't know if we still would have got it. Because giving us the dead part really helped, but it wasn't enough to.
You know what screwed me over is this fucking WWE ECW bullshit. It's yes. Really fucking me over big time.
Yeah, because he was a part of ECW.
Because nobody remembers that roster at all.
Right. Because it was a part of WWE at that point. So nobody remembers it being connected, just ECW.
Boo to that time period.
Well, there you have it, listeners. Another exciting week of Are You Not Kentertained has come to a close. Kent, any announcements before we say goodbye to our listeners?
All right, so this weekend we'll have the No Mercy preview that I'm writing with Carrie, and then no,
yeah. We don't know. Yeah, we don't know.
Okay, no,
it's a mystery.
I talked to one of you and you agreed. I don't remember, but let's see.
No, I'm writing it with you.
Okay, so Carrie's writing.
So I've got review.
With me. Russ is doing the review. Fan fucking tastic. Monday. Oh, I'll get to talk to Steve. I haven't talked to him in a while. So I'll have that podcast up. Tales from the Plunderbund Consortium released Chapter 3 yesterday. And we'll release Chapter 4 next Tuesday. On top of that, looking at the calendar, I don't have anything else because I'll have announcements next week for the horror movie stuff.
You might
want ridiculous.
Yeah, I was going to say, we might want to spend about maybe 15 to 20 minutes and end early because Kent's going to have about 15 to 20 minutes worth of telling us what he has coming up.
Oh, also American Horror Story blog's up, and I'm hoping to do a podcast tomorrow night with Melanie. And Channel Zero's coming back, I think, possibly this week, so there might be a blog on that as well. I am not looking forward to this time of the year. Somebody shoot me in the face.
A lot of work for little
no pay for Mr. Gray.
Yes, but for our listeners and our readers, a lot of hours, well, a few minutes or several minutes of enjoyment. Yeah. With that being said, check those things out at our website, 9deuce.com. For, you know, your TV show, Dungeons & Dragons and role-playing likes, and also wrestling. Of course, our blog is at 9deuce.com/wrestling. And with that, for Russ, Kent, and myself, we wish you good night, and we'll talk to you all next week.
Wrestling sucks.
Oh, it was brutal this week.
I read a theory that Fast and the Furious is really a bunch of people playing Dungeons and Dragons only with vehicles, because each subsequent film, the vehicles get more and more upgraded, like a role-playing game.
I've heard that theory.
It's a good theory. I was like, holy shit. I still don't like the franchise, but it's an interesting theory.